At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number 2 of The Handle here at Circus Sportsbook. Dave Ross and Adam Burke coming at you. I want to give a quick shout out here before we get to the poll question to our guy John Brown, does graphics and kind of a jack of all trades here at the network. He and his band, New Cold War, will be playing, if you're in Las Vegas, next week, April 1st, at the Double Down Saloon. I've never been to the Double Down Saloon. You told me it's an experience. John Brown's band's playing there? If you're in Vegas, you got to get there.
It is an experience. That is maybe the Vegas experience.
Really?
It's a great place.
I feel like I'll be coming of age by going to check out John's band.
Might as well.
New Cold War. April 1st, if you're in Las Vegas, check it out. Let's get to the poll. I did vote. Stephanie was getting on me during the break. Like, come on, you got to vote. I voted FAU and Gonzaga as your best money line parlay today at the longest odds, plus 361. I believe both dogs are truly live in this game. That's why short numbers out there. What, 1.5 right now for K-State over FAU, and right now the Zags 2.5-point dogs to UConn. But you went the other way. You went with both faves to get plus money.
Yeah, me and the majority, well, not the majority, but the highest percentage of voters here so far with this poll. I mean, look, I bet UConn, so I mean, I have to have UConn in there somewhere. But Florida Atlantic is a phenomenal story. I've just been so impressed with the way that Kansas State's been coached all year long.
Yeah.
So I had to give the Wildcats the nod there.
Now, all four games last night, if I'm not mistaken, none of them really, the spread really never came into play, right? We had blowouts, ironically, for both dogs to win outright and then both faves.
I mean, Princeton and Creighton very much came down to
the number. That's the only one that came down to the number.
The missed free throw with 25 seconds left.
By the way, if you don't know what Adam and I are talking about, they went to the benches, right? It's a 12-point game for Creighton. And the Princeton backup off the bench looks like he's got an and one, and it rims out somehow. Mm-hmm. So the kid straight off the bench knocks down the first free throw to make it 11, misses the second, no fouls, game's over.
So here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about mm-hmm. betting college basketball, because a lot of people don't start betting it until the conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament. That happens all the time. And there's nothing worse than, like, when you're sitting on a – you know, plus 10, plus 11. Ugh. They're down by 10, and the kid fouls with like 27 seconds left. And you're like, why? Just why? What?
It's what they do. College
basketball is just notorious for beats that'll make you want to rip your hair out.
So he had Creighton.
It just comes with the territory.
Some would say had it all the way. Never in doubt. They win by 11. Cover that number.
Never in doubt. San Diego State against Charleston. Never in doubt.
Let's talk a little good news or bad news here, as we like to do each and every week on the handle. And this starts off in the NFL. Now, if you're a Jets backer, this is depending on your perspective. The rumor is that Odell Beckham Jr. is, quote, very real and in play to be one of the wideouts for your J-E-T-S, Jets. Adam Burke, if you are a Jets backer, is this good news or bad news?
I mean, he's, you know, coming off of an injury again, which I don't know about that. But look, I mean, that's the kind of guy that, even if he's not at 100%, he still commands respect. When you plan out, you know, your defense throughout the week, when you're scheming everything, and then, of course, when you're out there on the field actually, you know, lining up against him, he still commands respect. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said about that, to where, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that, you know, he's kind of made stars out of average wide receivers that's at true. Times in Green Bay. It, maybe Beckham isn't a star anymore, but he's probably going to make guys around him better just by taking the defense's attention away. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
And right now, the Jets, again, we're still waiting for Aaron Rodgers. I can't believe a week later it still has not been official. But the Jets are plus 240 to win the AFC East. I don't know that number's not going to change if Odell Beckham Jr. gets signed to this roster. But I think the other side of that coin, people go, well, they got a lot of young talent at receiver. Do you want to bring in an Odell Beckham Jr.? He could be the mentor now, right? If he's your slot guy, like the Rams used him, Cooper Kupp obviously was option number one, going all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it. And Odell was having a really good Super Bowl until he blew up his knee. Hasn't played since that game. So it will be a full year and a half removed, which again, you know, as a Cowboy backer, you know, I'm looking at guys coming off ACLs and thinking, you know, will the receivers like a Michael Gallup still be the same in Dallas? That's a young receiver. This is an aging receiver coming off that ACL, but he has had the requisite time. I'm not a doctor, but it seems like the time that you really need to get better from that injury.
You're not a doctor?
Not a doctor.
You just pretend to play one?
Many hats in my world.
But I will say this real quick about the AFC East. As things stand right now, even with Aaron Rodgers, I still like Miami to win that division at 3-1.
That's the play you'd make.
That's the play I'd make right now.
And not the Buffalo Bills.
I think the Bills are still great, but I think Miami is, dare I say, underrated.
Well, 3-1. By the way, Buffalo Bills right now plus $1.35 to win the division.
Deserving, but I think Miami is the best bet of the four.
LeBron James is progressing, they say, towards a comeback for his right foot injury, and there's increasing optimism that the Lakers star could return to play, quote, a few games before the season ends. Because we all thought, shut him down, the king is done, until you get to the play-in. Is that, that's got to be good news. Lakers got a big win last night over OKC. Are we going to be kicking ourselves going, I can't believe I didn't bet the Lakers to come out of the West with a healthy LeBron, whether in their play-in spot or not, if they just get in, my goodness, those numbers are going to get shorted.
Yeah, they're definitely going to get shorted. At the same time, I mean, I don't know if this is an injury that you ever get to be 100% from throughout the course of a season. Maybe you just get to a point where you can kind of manage it a little bit better and play through it. I do think what's really interesting about the Lakers and the situation they're currently in, and just kind of looking at, you know, the Western Conference in general,
yep,
like you may run into a situation where the play-in tournament has a team with LeBron on it and a team with Luka Doncic on it. Oh, so God. Like that kind of throws everything into a little bit of a, it kind of throws a wrench into things sort of, I think, in that Western Conference, where the problem is, of course, if you come out of the play-in, you're playing Denver or Memphis in all likelihood, two very, very good basketball teams. But I mean, imagine, you know, the play-in with LeBron and Doncic. I mean, there's a nice little ratings monster there for the NBA.
Well, 12-1 right now, you can get the Lakers to win the West. Okay, not the NBA title, but just come out of the West and win it. Better odds than the aforementioned Mavericks, who, if you saw Luka Doncic last night after their loss, I don't know what's going on with Luka. And I know everybody wanted, oh, it's Kyrie. He's playing with Kyrie, so that's why he's down. He's like, nah, has nothing to do with basketball. I don't talk about my personal life. Something's going on with Luka, so I hope he's okay mentally or whatever might be happening. They're 15-1. The Kings are 20-1. There's no respect in the betting market at all for the Kings, and yet the Lakers still 12-1. If the King does come back, they're a shorter favorite right now than the Kings.
I mean, look, I don't know if this is just because it's the regular season, but with LeBron, the Lakers are only 24-23 when he starts. I mean, it's not like they were a great team anyway. And certainly that's a guy, I mean, I'm from Cleveland. Like, I watched that guy take over games for a very long time.
Yeah.
Whenever he wanted to, he'd just take the game over. Does he have that ability now at his advanced age? I mean, he's, you know, 38 now. Does he have that ability to do that with an injury? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's a worthwhile wager at all.
I don't know how at 38 he's keeping his body in shape like he is, but modern medicine
is a freak.
Oh. Let's get to Major League Baseball. I wonder if this is good news or bad news, because the Sox are going to name Corey Kluber. Yeah, that Corey Kluber as the opening day starter and not Chris Sale, formerly of the White Sox on the South Side. So there, it's not going to be Sale. It's going to be Kluber. Good news or bad news if you're a Sox backer like Stephanie?
It's not great news by any means. Sorry, Steph. I'm going to choose my words very carefully here. Look, I mean, Kluber's a guy, you know, again, advanced age. He's had some arm issues. He's had some back issues as well. The velocity is just not there. The stuff is not particularly great. And last year, you know, pitching with Tampa Bay, I mean, that's a guy where, you know, look, Tropicana Field, great place to pitch.
Yep.
Phenomenal place to pitch. His road numbers weren't particularly good. And Fenway Park, not a great pitcher's park because it's short to left field. It's short to right field. Center field's kind of wonky. You know, it's just not a great place to pitch. There's a reason why it's such a good offensive park. I don't think it's a great fit for Corey Kluber at all. Look, I hope Chris Sale's healthy. The game of baseball is better with him in it. But I do think that the depth of the Red Sox rotation is a bit better than people are giving it credit for.
Really?
I really like Carter Crawford. I think Tanner Houck's a really solid pitcher as well. Nick Pivetta was fine outside of facing other AL East lineups. And you'll do that less with the schedule change this year. You only play 13 games against division opponents instead of 19, so that helps them. But Kluber being the opening day guy, I mean, good for him, I guess. But, you know, he's not the number one starter on that team.
This is not a small market team. This is the Boston Red Sox we're talking about. A win total of 78.5. Some are saying they're going to come in dead last in the AL East. What's happened to Boston?
Well, look, it's kind of tricky because, you know, their player development in the minor league level is not particularly strong, and it costs so much money nowadays to keep together the core of a team that you can't really do it.
But it's Boston.
So, right, I understand that. But as guys age out, like, you can't be throwing $250, $300 million contracts at everybody. They got to a point where they had to make a decision between Xander Bogaerts or Rafael Devers. I think Rafael Devers is the right choice between the two. But, you know, unless you're able to develop players with star upside, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins above replacement player types of guys, it's just hard to keep that all together, and they haven't been able to do that. So that's kind of what's happened with Boston. But I will say this. I mean, Yoshida looked great in the World Baseball Classic, and Tristan Casas is a guy who's very much, you know, AL Rookie of the Year kind of guy. So I think the offense will be fine. It's the pitching staff I'm worried about.
Are we going to look back in 5 years and go, what the hell were they thinking in the Mookie Betts trade? Or do you think they got, like, That's one of those things. When that happened, you went, what?
Yeah.
We're giving away Mookie Betts if you're a Bo Sox guy?
Yeah, that again, when you don't have good player development, you have to trade guys to get other teams' top prospects, and that's kind of what you ran into with Mookie. And then, of course, now, like I said, that decision between Devers and Bogaerts, there's only so much money that these owners are willing to spray around, most of them.
Corey Kluber, opening day, 2023. When we come back, who's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft? We'll discuss next here on The Handle.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetRivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. Win up to $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing our exclusive BetRivers squares this basketball season. Place a qualifying bet, get a square in the house. If the numbers on the square match the final score of the game, you're going to win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonus, and credit use. Full terms and conditions available at BetRiversSquares.com. Back alongside Adam Burke, Dave Ross here. You looked up and you saw that Corey Kluber pitching right now for the Bo Sox.
Yeah, channeling my inner Manfred Mann's Earth Band, getting blinded by the light, trying to look up there at Corey Kluber pitching against the Rays. Eventually, I'll be able to see again. But yeah, it's up there in the top
corner.
Revved
up like a deuce in the middle of the night.
Indeed.
Corey Kluber,
very, very misquoted lyric, by the way.
That's why you got to enunciate the deuce.
Yes.
Corey Kluber, by the way, 2016, because Jeremy Winkle's directing today, Chicago guy. Mm-hmm. That might be one of the best baseball games. I know you probably don't want to talk about it.
Let's not talk about that. I mean, I was at every playoff game that year. I was a season ticket holder.
If the rain delay doesn't happen, are the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, world champions?
Probably. Yeah. Honestly, if Brian Shaw doesn't come back out after the rain delay, Cleveland's probably a World Series champion.
So Tito Francona screwed that one.
I don't know how long I'm going to live. I hope it's a while. I just need one, man. Like, I just need one World Series. Super Bowl's number two.
Yeah, see,
we got
Cubs
the NBA
fans.
Title. I don't care.
That's what Cubs fans said, right?
I don't care about Cubs fans. The hell with them. I'm from Cleveland. I don't care about Chicago.
Just saying, Jeremy, if you want to cut his mic, that's up to you.
He got the World Series.
He should be happy for the rest of his life. And that's why I try to tell people, like, don't get greedy. Like, people get on me, like, for the Cowboys. And I'm like, dude, I'm old enough. I saw four of them. I witnessed four Cowboys Super Bowls. I was young when Tony Dorsett and the boys got it done in 1978. But, I mean, I remember that game like it was yesterday. I got four. I'm good. I mean, yeah, I'd love another one. But you don't have to get greedy, Cubs fans.
I just want one. That's it. I need one.
My guy, Brandon Guyer, played the game of his life in Game 7.
He did.
Still wasn't good enough to get it done. Let's get to the NFL draft, because this marketplace has been all over the board. Once the big trade was made, speaking of Chicago, and the Bears trade out of one, Carolina, I was doing the show live when this is happening. Boy, it feels like a year ago now. What was it, about 3 weeks ago? And they trade out of that number one pick, and all of a sudden, I mean, you just see these numbers going off the board. Like, Anthony Richardson kept getting shorter and shorter. I'm like, oh, are they doing this for Anthony Richardson? And then you saw the Bryce Young movement. And in real time, it never hit. I never saw minus $5, but I saw $4.50 in the screens. Now that has come down now. Okay, so it feels like cooler heads are prevailing. What in the wild, wild world of sports are the Panthers actually going to do in the betting market? Because it still feels like C.J. Stroud is the pick, but Bryce Young, you're never going to get a better number on Bryce Young than you will right now to go number one. The reports are that Frank Reich really wants a big-bodied quarterback. That leads you more towards C.J. Stroud, who's still over a $3 betting favorite, but that the owner and maybe the front office group is enamored with Bryce Young, and that's plus 225. And then Richardson, who got as short as 3-1, is now back up to plus 750.
So if you think there's a chance that you can trade for the number one overall pick when you're going through the process of hiring Frank Reich, don't you talk about this beforehand? Isn't this like getting married and then going, oh, I don't really want kids? Like, It's just, it blows my mind.
Have the discussion before?
Like, have the discussion before. And obviously, according to the odds, it would appear that Frank Reich will win out in this argument. And look, I mean, if you are going to draft your future franchise quarterback right after you hire a new head coach, maybe be on the same page. So, I don't know. Look, I mean, a lot of it, too, you know, look at these GMs and executives around the league. It's all about self-preservation, right? I mean, C.J. Stroud, could we say he has less bust potential just because he's not the size of Bryce Young? Maybe.
Well, and I think that's interesting what you're mentioning as far as who's going to win out. If they're really, and look, there might not be a power struggle. This is just the reports, right? And again, this is what the Panthers wanted to do too, because it affects Houston it too. Like, hey, if we really like this guy, I mean, I can't imagine they trade out of the spot. They just traded into the spot. So clearly you would think, to add them to your logic, that they've already got this figured out. So,
and they're still going to take 10 minutes to make the pick on draft day.
I mean, crazier things have happened where somebody else calls up and goes, okay, if you're going to take Stroud, we really want Bryce. So we need to trade with you to get, like, but then you don't get your guy for Carolina. So I'm with you. It feels like Frank Reich, if there is a power struggle, has to win that struggle, or else why did you hire him to be the head coach?
Right.
It does kind of usurp the GM to a degree, because you're not letting the GM pick the guy. Normally it's the old Bill Parcells. You know, if I'm going to be doing the cooking, I want to pick the groceries, right? That's the old, but then it's like, well, then why do you have two guys doing the same job?
Right.
Because Frank Reich is in fact, almost like the de facto GM if he wins the power struggle.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hope they're both good, honestly, for the sake of the NFL, because the more good quarterbacks you have in the league, the better the product is. I mean, I'm an Ohio State guy. I'm biased. I've watched C.J. Stroud. But the one thing you could think about with C.J. Stroud, and I guess Bryce Young had this 2 years ago. He didn't really have it last year. I mean, Stroud's had, what, 5, 6 first-round picks at wide receiver?
Yeah.
That he got to play with? I mean, Bryce Young, you know, obviously Jameson Williams was really good. You know, John Metchie was a quality college player.
Sure.
We'll see, you know, if he's ever able to, you know, get back on track in the NFL. I know he's had a lot of other stuff going on.
It would be great if Bryce was 2 and Metchie comes back. That'd be a great story.
Right. But, I mean, look, guys aren't running with 5 yards of separation like Ohio State wide receivers were for Stroud. So I hope he's good and he can make all the throws, obviously, and he showed that mobility in the semifinal. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Are either one of these guys a slam dunk, honestly?
No, I think that's the inexact science of drafting one or two. You can go as far back as Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. Like, people laugh at it now, but at the time, that was a real discussion. Like, Ryan Leaf is the big-bodied quarterback, big-armed guy, like the Will Levis of this draft, right? Levis, by the way, is 35-1. Leaf didn't exactly work out. I think Peyton Manning did. So, like, and I'm not making those equations. By the way, I heard on ESPN Radio, I'm driving in my car. After listening to Limp Bizkit. And a guy says, I'm not going to call him out, but he says, you know, Will Levis reminds people of Jay Cutler, and that should scare everybody away. I mean, Jay Cutler, I guess he played in a title game and didn't even finish it, and some were questioning if he was hurt. And I'm like, the guy had a sprained MCL. He did get the Bears to a title game. He was a starter in the league for 12 years. Like, if that's Will Levis, sign me up for that right now. Like I don't want to make – who knows what he's going to be.
Right.
But, like, to disparage one guy to kind of say you shouldn't draft Will Levis, because the Colts are sitting at 4. And if you feel like Stroud goes 1, if the odds indicate it, and Bryce Young goes 2 to Houston, we don't think Arizona's taking a quarterback at 3. That's where maybe a defensive player comes off the board. And then you're really picking, if you're Indianapolis and you don't get Lamar Jackson, maybe between Will Levis and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, these guys do these pro days and they just throw with a clean pocket and nobody around them, and everyone goes crazy about the metrics and, you know, the arm strength and this and that. But, you know, it's just, look, I mean, I don't know how good Anthony Richardson is. Did he just play in a bad offense at Florida? Is he, you know, an inaccurate guy? Obviously, he's a physical specimen, and that's something that teams are going to gravitate towards, but they've also done the same thing with Will Levis. I mean, look, here's the thing about all sports, right? You either got to be really good or really bad. The worst place to be
is in the middle.
Is Will Levis going to win you a Super Bowl? Will Levis win you division titles? Do you think that if you put the right supporting cast around him, you can do that within, you know, 3 to 4 years when he's on that initial rookie deal? If you don't, then hope you're really bad this year and just get yourself Caleb Williams next year.
Well, and that's the thing. There is two ways to go there.
Or Drake May.
Right. And again, Colts right now are the favorite at four to draft Will Levis at plus 250. It's a fascinating market to see the way this is going to play out. And again, the reason why I bring up Lamar Jackson, Michael Lombardi, our own GM here in the network, says that the Colts should really be in play for a guy like Lamar. So we're hearing new reports that maybe Lamar is more open to possibly going elsewhere. His tweets have been disconcerting at best. What he said, "I am the storm," is what he tweeted. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. He's his own agent too, so.
I am the storm. I have no idea what Lamar Jackson's getting at. But like, if I'm the Colts, would I rather have Will Levis at four, plus 250, by the way, for the Colts to draft him, or go get Lamar Jackson? Go get Lamar Jackson, right?
I mean, Lamar Jackson's proven, obviously, but at the same time, I mean, you're going to have to commit significant dollars to a guy who's been hurt at the end of the last two seasons.
Well, that's the deal. You got to give him the contract he wants.
Right, you have to give him the contract he wants. You also have to tailor your offense around Lamar Jackson, whereas you bring in a kid, maybe you go, you know what? We saw what you were doing, but we think you can do this instead. You know, so that's something you have to make some concessions to kind of make your offense mold and shape it to what Lamar Jackson wants. You bring in Will Levis, you tell him, look, here's what we're doing. We think you're a good fit for it. Figure it out.
It's just, look, and I love Twitter. It's fun. I mean, it's one of the most unnecessary creations of our lifetime. But yet, when you see Lamar Jackson on there tweeting some of the stuff, I just go, dude, what are you doing? I have no idea what he's getting at. I am the storm. Then a lot of emojis. Tornado emojis, lightning bolts. I don't know. Let's talk some college basketball. Sorry, Lamar. When we come back next here on The Handle.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetRivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be for hockey and NBA action. BetRivers has you covered for every line, odd, and boost. Join us every week for new promotions like our Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Saturday Hockey Same Game Parlay Bet and Get, Weekly Pro Basketball Bet and Get, and more. Check out BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app. It is a whole new ballgame. Back alongside Adam Burke, Dave Ross here. We are here at Circus Sportsbook in Las Vegas. It is a pleasure to welcome Jerry Palm to the program today here on The Handle. Of course, does a great job at CBS Sports. Jerry, when you see today that we're in the Elite Eight and no number one seeds have advanced for the first time since the setup of this tournament, did you have any inclination? We knew it would be wide open, but that we'd be this far down the pecking order to that UConn is now the favorites?
Yeah, it's and they're not the highest seeded team left either. Texas is.
Right.
And they're the only two. So we've never even had that before where there were fewer than two of the one and two seeds not make the Elite Eight. It's been a strange year. You know, we had 13 lower seeded teams win in the first two rounds. That was a record. We had four more in the Sweet 16. So, yeah, I guess, you know, it's just going to be that kind of a tournament. No number ones. And it's now pretty much anybody's game.
Jerry, let's talk about that tournament favorite here in UConn. They're a 2.5-point favorite, total 153 or 154, depending on where you look, for that West Region final in Las Vegas here tonight at T-Mobile Arena. What do you think about this UConn and Gonzaga matchup, and who do you think ultimately prevails?
Well, I picked Gonzaga for the Final Four originally, so I'm sticking with them. They're certainly capable. I think the matchup of Drew Timmy and the twin centers for Connecticut, Klingman and Sanogo should be interesting because, you know, they can run two guys at Timmy, and if they can make him really have to work hard to score, then I think that can limit what Gonzaga can do. But their guards have been a lot better since the loss to St. Mary's, which is why they're in the position now that they are. If it was just through Timmy, they couldn't be here. So, you know, I think it's a great matchup. I think it's just going to come down to execution, who runs their stuff better, because these are two pretty evenly matched teams.
Jerry, we saw Strother, a Las Vegas guy, knock down that game winner against UCLA, going to play this final, obviously, right here in the desert. You know, early on, it felt like Gonzaga, the knock was the guard play just won't be that good. We knew how good Timmy would be. How has Mark Few gotten this young group to be playing their best basketball now in March?
And it's probably just a matter of maturity and just continuing to work as the season has gone on. You know, they've gotten better, and markedly better since the loss to St. Mary's. And it's just, you know, one of those things where probably everything has started to click. You know, you just keep working as the season goes on, and all of a sudden the light goes on. And this backcourt is now pretty good, and they're going to have to be good against Connecticut if they're going to win this game.
Jerry, the other Elite Eight game here today. I can't believe we're already in the Elite Eight.
It feels like
this tournament has flown by here. At Madison Square Garden, Florida Atlantic and Kansas State, two very well-coached teams, something we talked about earlier on in the show here. Kansas State, 1.5 or 2-point favorite, depending on where you look. Total 144 for this game. A lot of emotion, obviously, for both of these teams during their tournament runs. What do you think about this matchup between the Wildcats and the Owls? Who do you like?
Boy, I like Kansas State's guards. Mm. And they've been terrific all year, especially good in this tournament. Noel's playing out of his mind. What do you have, like 20 points and 19 assists the other night? Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, that's like every point Kansas State scored, somehow he either put it in himself or set it up. I mean, what a game. That was just remarkable, that game. One of the best games of the tournament this year, if not the best, the game with Michigan State. If those two guys, him and Keontae Johnson, are going, I don't see what Florida Atlantic can do about it. They're going to have to shoot threes really well. That's kind of their game anyway, if they are going to succeed against Kansas State. But to me, Kansas State should be a bigger favorite than 1.5. If their guards play well, I don't know what Florida Atlantic can do about it.
Talking with Jerry Palm, you can follow him on Twitter at JPPalmCBS. Let's take a little peek to tomorrow's games here before we get down to the Final Four. Creighton against San Diego State. I get it that Creighton's a 6th seed, but they felt like a team that at least a lot of sharps out here in Las Vegas had their eye on to possibly even come out of this region here. What do you make of the way that they're playing now? And were they a little bit misseeded as a 6?
No, I don't think they were misseeded. I mean, they got their seed based on what they did during the season. They had some injury problems. Carl Brenner was out for a while. They had that 6-game losing streak in December. There was some overlap, but not entirely, between Carl Brenner's injury and that losing streak. And that's, just kind of – and then they had some hit-and-miss play at the end of the season. But that's a team that was better than the number to the left of their name, and mm-hmm. I think we all knew that. But that was also true of Texas A&M, and they went out in the first round. So you still have to win the games, and Creighton is winning the games. And they look pretty good. They're shooting reasonably well. San Diego State's going to be an interesting matchup for them because they like to play in the muck. They like to get in you defensively, make you uncomfortable, and they did a really good job of that with Alabama. And their prolific offense, San Diego State took them out of anything they wanted to do. And Creighton is really going to be challenged offensively in this game. That Kalkbrenner is a guy that is a matchup problem for San Diego State because they just don't have anybody that big. And there were times that Alabama was able to exploit San Diego State inside. Creighton probably is going to need to do that. This is a great coaching matchup. It's a great style, different type of matchup. And whoever can dictate style is probably going to win.
It's the lowest point total, by the way, on the board here, 133.5. So expecting maybe
San Diego State.
Right, exactly.
San Diego State. They're the king of unders.
Jerry, I think maybe one of the biggest surprises of the Sweet 16 here was what Miami was able to do offensively against Houston. Nearly 1.3 points per possession for the Hurricanes, far and away the most that Houston allowed in any game this season. Will Miami find the same offensive success here against Texas?
Oh, well, maybe. Texas is a pretty good defensive team too, but the thing about, Texas is, and not that Houston had offensive problems, they surely didn't. They had some weapons. But man, Miami was going. And you just have to try and slow their guards down, Miami's guards, that is. It's a hard thing to do, but man, they scored almost 90 against Houston. I think that's like a game and a half of points against Houston. That's a remarkable performance. And, that's a really good matchup because I think both teams are really good offensively. I think Texas is better defensively. And that could end up being the difference in the game. But, it'd be foolish to rule Miami out.
Jerry, when I look at the Elite Eight here, there's only two coaches that have done this and taken their teams to a Final Four before. Of course, Mark Few doing it at Gonzaga. And Jim Larrañaga back in his days at George Mason. Does that give those guys a distinct advantage over the other guys who have never been there and done that?
I don't know. I mean, I think you've got, you know, pretty experienced coaches for the most part. Terry has been a head coach before, the Texas coach, Ronnie Terry, who should be the full-time head coach and still isn't. but anyways, you know, he's been a head coach before, but not at this level. So his experience could be an issue, I suppose, but it hasn't been yet. And then, of course, May at Florida Atlantic is also, new to, just getting this far at all in the tournament. Jerome Tang, his first year as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, we definitely have some inexperienced coaches here, but you aren't seeing, problems yet. These coaches don't look like they're in over their heads at all. And I don't know why, this weekend would be any different.
Yeah, I also look at one thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is, it feels like the tournament, they love it when Cinderella, kind of gets to the Sweet 16, makes a run. Then they want the heavy hitters there to get to the Final Four and cut down the nets. We don't really have the heavy hitters.
No.
What do you make of this tournament overall? Because it feels very different from most tournaments.
Oh, it totally does. There's still some big names. UConn is a previous champion. Gonzaga's been to the Final Four. Unfortunately, I guess only one of them can go. Texas is still a big name in athletics, and if not, basketball necessarily, they've done well in basketball before. So, you've got some names here, but you don't have Kansas or Duke or Carolina, some of the names that we're used to seeing in this thing almost every year. I don't know. I think that's great. It's fun to see some new blood in the NCAA tournament. I don't know how the casual viewer is going to feel about it. And I don't know how, people who fill out brackets are all, have all set fire to them. But, someone's going to win a pool. It's just not going to win with very many points this year. It's been a weird tournament, but I don't mind it. I like it a lot better if my team were in it. But we were the first of the one seeds to go out. So,
it happens.
That's the way it goes.
Hey, Jerry, about 15, 20 seconds. Who do you think's cutting down the nets when this is all said and done?
Texas.
Ooh. Gonna roll with the Longhorns plus 360. Hey, Jerry Palm, we really appreciate the time and the information. Enjoy the rest of March Madness.
All right, thanks.
All right, great having Jerry Palm from CBS join us here. Just program reminder, we're going to have Jeff Goodman on in the last hour in studio to talk much more about said tourney. When we come back, more diamonds in the rough. When I got Adam Burke, we got to talk some baseball. That's next here in The Handle.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now. It has futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackinnon has power ratings on every team, and Adam Burke has done a lot of work on this thing, breaking down how the new Major League Baseball rules are going to impact the bettors. That is a fascinating conversation. Whether you're going to bet best baseball every day or looking for valuable future bets, our betting guide has it all. So sign up today. Get full access to VSiN for 30 days for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside the aforementioned Adam Burke, I am Dave Ross. We talked about that in hour number one. Hopefully you get to listen to that conversation about how the new rules are going to affect the way you might want to handicap that. But the short of it is, Adam, is you don't think the books initially are going to have a hard time adjusting to whether or not we're going to get more runs with these rule changes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's going to be challenging for bettors too, because one of the things that I look for in terms of handicapping both sides and totals is how frequent do I think chances will be with a runner in scoring position? Okay. How many run scoring opportunities will there be for a team? In theory, this is a rising tide that'll lift all boats. Every team should get more chances with runners in scoring position now with more singles, particularly from left-handed batters, and more stolen bases. Whether or not they cash in, who knows? And that's the big thing about Major League Baseball, is that a lot of games come down to that limited number of plate appearances with a runner in scoring position. Either guy gets a hit or he doesn't. And runs either score or they don't. And that's typically what decides the winner of a baseball game, and also decides, you know, the over and the under. So that's very, very tricky to try and pinpoint. And it got even harder now because you're going to have more opportunities to drive in runs, but some teams will do it and some teams won't. And the concerning thing, I think, is there's a good chance that these rule changes make the rich richer. Mm. The teams that don't strike out, the teams that have better hitters, the teams that have better run producers in the middle, we could actually see the gap between the good and the bad widen a little bit this season.
Very quickly, I know it feels like normally unders are in vogue earlier in the season, mm-hmm. right? Teams come north from spring training. It's cold weather normally. But with these rule changes, will that offset traditionally a slower start for the offenses?
It's a really good question because, as you said, the ball doesn't travel.
Right?
So, like, you still have to string together hits to score runs. It's easier to do now, at least in theory, because of the shift ban. But at the same time, if you're not hitting home runs, you're not scoring as many runs.
Right.
So it's kind of a give and take that we're going to have to try to figure out. My hope personally is that offense is way down in April and the ball just isn't carrying and teams are adjusting defensively and all that. But there's another point to make. I don't want to go too deep in the weeds with this, but one of the things I started thinking about is, with the pitch clock, there's less recovery time between pitches, right? So guys have gone out, their velocity is the highest it's ever been. Right. I don't think that changes necessarily, but guys have less recovery time between pitches. And everyone goes out there and goes max effort because that's just how they're training their arms now with all the different techniques that we have. There is a world in which pitch velocity drops a little bit this season, which would increase exit velocity for hitting. There's a correlation between hitting the ball hard and pulling it. Mm. So now without the shift ban, if pitch velocity is down a little bit, guys will be able to pull the ball more, which means pulling it through what would have been a shift, and that could produce more offense. So there is a possibility that that comes to fruition too. Again, I'll need a lot of data before I can definitively say that, but it's kind of a working theory that I have here going into the early part of the year.
These are the type of in-the-weeds discussions that I absolutely love. And again, as a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll get Adam's thoughts throughout the baseball season, so you need to be one if you're not already a VSiN Pro subscriber. Let's get to some of the team totals. And again, I always say if you play unders, you're rooting for the passage of time. You've got some unders that you think are playable. Let's start off with one that makes me happy as a Metropolitan fan. Already worried about the Phillies. Already worried about the Braves. Do the Met fans have to worry about the pesky fighting fish?
I don't think they do. And by the way, I talked about the rule changes on my new podcast, VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. So you can check that out wherever you get your podcast content. For the Phillies, you know, I mean, Rhys Hoskins goes down with a torn ACL a couple days ago. Yep. That's a big-time injury for the Phillies, who are already without Bryce Harper until the middle of the year because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. But for the Marlins here, look, there's a chance that I'm dead wrong about this team. Their season win total under 76.5 is a play for me. There's a chance I'm wrong about this team because they have a lot of talent. They've done a great job developing pitchers specifically. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, Sandy Alcantara, who just won the Cy Young last year, struck out the first eight guys he faced in his final spring training start yesterday. But offensively, I just don't like this team at all. I'm really not a fan of what they bring to the table. And if you're a bad offense, based on the rule changes that we've been talking about, I think it's even more hurtful this season because the rules are designed to increase offense. So if you're a bad offense, that keeps you behind the other teams that should end up improving here. So I think that's something that's a bit of a problem for the Marlins. They have pitching injuries already from mm-hmm. a depth standpoint. I don't know if a guy like Trevor Rogers will bounce back. I don't know what we'll get from Jesus Luzardo, but this team just, to me, I don't think they can compete in this division, and I don't think they can compete with other teams around the league because, again, keep in mind, with the schedule changes, you're playing 24 fewer games than your division, and a lot of teams in baseball are better this year than they were last year, and I think a team like the Marlins could be hurt by that a little bit. So, you know, for me, I thought that they were a good underpick at 76.5, and frankly, I mean, that's something that they haven't done. They haven't had 77 or more wins in the last six seasons, and obviously there's the one COVID year in there. They're just not a team that wins a lot of games, and they wind up being a seller at the trade deadline as
well.
And again,
and I do think the top three teams in that division, although the Phillies right now with bad injury news there, it does feel like it's a three-horse race. It's going to be tough to get those wins in the division.
It's a two-horse race now.
Well, yeah, Phillies out. Let's get to the NL West because it feels like a two-horse race there between the Padres and the Dodgers. Giants thought they had Carlos Correa. Then they didn't like the physical. He gone. And he's going to go to the Mets. Then that doesn't happen. He's back in Minnesota. So what do the Giants have? Do they have enough to be a player in this division?
I don't think that they do. And their season win total basically puts them around a 500 team. I think that's kind of optimistic for this team, to be totally honest with you. They lose Carlos Rodon, who was such a big part of that rotation last year. And mm-hmm. Rodon, of course, you know, hurt now already for the Yankees. But, you know, look, here's the reason why I don't like the Giants. And this goes back to all the rule changes that we've been talking about. So the Giants are not a good defensive team. They were really bad last year. I don't expect them to be that much better this year. There's a lot more ground to cover now that you don't have the shift. The second thing about that is that they led Major League Baseball in ground ball percentage as a pitching staff last year. So they were a terrible defense. That hurt them a lot. Mm. A lot of their guys had higher ERAs, and some of their advanced metrics looked better, but they had low left on base percentages. They gave up a lot of hits with men in scoring position because they just weren't a good defensive team. Well, they lost a strikeout guy in Rodon, so that means more balls in play for this pitching staff as a whole, and they can't shift now. So it's a bad defensive team that lost one of the few things that could help it on the infield, and they're still going to have a lot of ground ball guys. And if those guys try to adjust to get more strikeouts, stuff like that, the walk rate will increase. They'll wind up being behind in the count a little bit more probably. That'll lead to more power against. So for me, the rule changes impact the Giants in a very negative way. So like under 81.5 for this team. And again, I don't think their offense is particularly good. And they could be a big seller at the trade deadline because when you think about it, as you said, it's a two-horse race, right? The Dodgers and the Padres are both spending like crazy. The Diamondbacks are maybe the best team in baseball nobody's talking about this year to make a big leap and be a 500 or better team. The Giants are kind of stuck in neutral. And I think they have to make a decision. Do we try to contend with the Dodgers and the Padres? Or do we try and kind of kickstart a rebuild and figure some things out? I think it's the latter. I think this is a team that stays under 81.5.
That is a great way to handicap it, that you have to think about teams that might be buyers or sellers. And unless they're really overachieving early in the year, more than likely the Giants would be one of those sellers to go under that 81.5 win total. In the AL East, again, I feel like it's a three-horse race with the Rays, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays, but maybe just two in your eyes?
So this one's hard for me. This one's kind of painful. It hits me right here. I love smart, analytically savvy baseball teams. No team in baseball is smarter than the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm. They have an anemic payroll. They're with skyscrapers on the payroll charts in the American League East. And yet they always find ways to compete. They always find ways to be in games and win them. Here's my concern with the Rays. And their season win total 88.5. It's a big number. I think they'll still be a pretty good team. But they have so many injury concerns with the pitching staff. Tyler Glasnow is always hurt. They've had basically all of their prospects have had Tommy John surgery at this point in time. Shane McClanahan was hurt at the tail end of last year. And offensively, I just don't love this team. I think they're a below average offense in a lot of ways. If Wander Franco's healthy, it helps. He wasn't healthy last year, but I just think this team kind of ripe for a little bit of regression here. They've had a major brain drain in the front office as well, so I think maybe they lose some of their edges there. Still a good team, but I don't think they're a 90-plus win team. I took under 88.5 on the Rays, and it hurts my sabermetric heart to do it.
Yeah, but you got to do what's sound for your
gotta
wallet.
Do it.
And
right.
It feels
yep.
like that might be the right way to go there. Adam, great stuff as always. And again, get the baseball guide and become a VSiN Pro subscriber to get access to all of Adam's baseball thoughts. On a daily basis, the man puts in the work so you can reap the rewards. When we come back, hour number three, we'll check in on the poll and see if there's any changing numbers as we start the Elite Eight later on this afternoon. Come on back. It's The Handle here on VSiN.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.